Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
No. Happy birthday, Cam, from the port.
Yes, this is Lash Legend, the one and only.
And Mary Jax.
We are the Irresistible Forces, and we just wanted to wish you a very special, special happy, happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday, and next time you should be here in person, so we don't have to send you a video.
Awesome, well, we're wishing you many, many more, and peace out.
Ding, 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 stepping from the port. We in first black champ. Let it begin. Camp from the port. JR bang in the corner. Real talk, real heat. Tune in, now we on ya. Ding, ding, step in. Mic check. Let it spin. From the port, we in first black champ. Let it begin.
Oh, nigga. Whoa. Hey. Hey, listen. I was trying to stop cussing. I tried to stop cussing. But this is the first Black Champ podcast. We just going to get right to that. Hey, listen. Y'all can't tell me anything. You can't tell me anything. JR Bang is the greatest pre and post podcast producer of all time. He's the greatest co-creator of all time. This show has now, this is my favorite episode. My favorite episode. I don't care what y'all like moving forward. That's my favorite episode. Hey. I'm clipping that. yeah, I can't be told anything. I'm really him.
Hey. Well, I'll do the intro. Welcome to the first Black Champ podcast. I am JR Bang. That's Cam from the Port. Make sure you follow us at everything, the FBC POD. Shouts out to the big homie, Sean Knight.
So I missed this call. I was getting ready to text and be like, hey, yo, I'm setting up for Champ, but I'll get with you.
Yeah, so shouts out to the big homie, Sean Knight. Sean Knight is in Jacksonville right now, and he said that he had Nia Jax and Lash Legend coming on to the show last week. So I was like, wait a minute, what? Oh, hey, I ain't missing this opportunity. Hey, fam, I need a drop from Lash Legend and Nia Jax, because yes. If anybody listens to this show, there's two people that he is affectionate for on when it comes to wrestling, and it is those two. Check your phone. The drop is in your phone, so you ain't got to clip nothing. Sean Knight went ahead and got it. So I was like, oh, and I did the shouts out to the new intro. Yes, we have a new intro, new song and everything. So literally, I was like, wait a minute. There's no better surprise to kick off Camp from the Port's 45th birthday than to go ahead and put that at the beginning to surprise him for his birthday. Happy birthday, Camp from the Port.
Oh, man. Hey, listen. First of all, thank you. That's extremely humbling. I'm glad. Hey, listen, that's going way out of the way for me. I always appreciate things. Anything get to me, I'm not really the guy you got to buy like a bunch of crazy wild things for, but gestures like that, man, now I feel indebted. Now I feel like, oh, now I got to do something. I don't know if I'm doing it 6 days.
But you good. You are good because these opportunities. But that's why I kicked off. That's why I asked, like, hey, man, how about, oh, boom. So, yes.
Now, and just because now I got to follow Nia Jax. I got to follow Lash Legend respectfully. You know what I'm saying? But y'all got to follow up for life for me. And listen, nobody loves y'all as a tag team more than me. And I am thankful for both of you ladies wishing me a happy birthday. Sean Knight, thank you, sir. I am sorry I did not pick up your phone. I'm trying to pack. I was trying to get set up for the show.
I'm glad don't
hit
did,
you afterwards.
Because he probably would have spoiled the surprise.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I got something for you on the when the show starts.
Yeah, yeah, he probably would have spoiled the surprise, not knowing that we was doing it right before the show. But yes, shouts out to Sean Knight, shouts out to Lash Legend, Nia Jax, for the love. And shouts out to Kent from the Port celebrating his 45th birthday. Mine's is on Thursday, so that's why episodes, y'all know, y'all been listening to this podcast for how long, y'all know May be the spotty month.
9 years almost, yeah.
Right, May is the spotty month. Because next week there will be no episode because I will be in Atlanta. I won't be celebrating my birthday. I'll be working. I'll be working. I'll be in Atlanta celebrating 30 years of birthday bash, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Stuff. But at the end of the day, shouts out to everybody for joining us for this episode.
Yes. Yes. Banks, what up? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Donnie, yes. You know what I'm saying? That is a theme song. That is. we might as well be the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air of podcasting as well.
Yeah.
Man, yes, man. Hey, listen, a lot of wrestling has happened, y'all. A lot of wrestling has happened. And we've been attempting with all the May Day extravaganzas happening to keep you abreast. But what you will get is conversation like nobody else. It is time that we start that. And what better time as I follow Nia Jackson, Lash Legend, and post my video in real time because birthday complete. I'm about to end this with dinner with my daughter. I mean, hey, this might be the best birthday weekend ever. I don't. it's definitely in the top seven. I'm gonna start piecing them together based on this. But yes, one of my greatest gifts, my friend. I appreciate you. Thank you, sir. It's always nothing but love, man. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing that for me, man.
All right, so if y'all ain't see it, just go ahead and go back to the beginning so you can see what we're talking about. But let's get into Backlash. Last week was Backlash, and we're going to do a quick recap of what happened. Let's start with Bron Breakker versus Seth Rollins. I know we didn't really do predictions. If you would have picked had a prediction for this match before Backlash, who would have won?
My prediction before would have been Bron Breakker because it's Backlash. I think him going over at WrestleMania, don't get me wrong, it probably would have been a big deal, but I think Seth still needs to earn a certain WrestleMania resume, and he's made so many moments for other people in losses, but that's also a big stage for him to do big things. So I would have picked Bron Breakker because it's Backlash, solely off of that. And also to keep his momentum back up, to make sure that is where it needs to be.
Yeah, I would have picked the same. The match didn't go. It was not a surprise about the match. It wasn't a surprise that it was a dope match. Like, this was a dope match. Like, we've always said Seth Rollins could have a great match with a broom.
Yeah.
And Bron Breakker was definitely no broom. A lot of great near finishes and things of that nature. Bron Breakker wins with the spear. Where do you think this takes Bron Breakker, though? Like, this feud is not over with. And even if you go to Raw, not only was it not over with, you had the Street Profits, like, pissed at Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is damn near, like, the lone wolf at this point. But with Bron Breakker, like, outside of, okay, this feud is not over with Seth Rollins, like, what do you feel like is the next step for him? Or do you kind of feel like somebody's already took it?
See, this is difficult because they're still trying to make this vision thing a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it hasn't been, they weren't all supposed to get injured and it'd be dismantled on accident by WrestleMania. So I don't know. I think we're witnessing just a pivot with two great wrestlers. I don't really know what's about to happen next, because you got a situation where, yes, we do want to see Seth Rollins versus Bron Breakker, but now that it's obviously not going to be for the title, and it's obviously not to be in control of the vision. So what now? What are they fighting for? Other than the fact, oh, you speared me a few months ago. That's the story now. And I don't know if it's, I don't know what needs to be made, because obviously I don't want them fighting over like the Intercontinental title, like the US title or something like that. And like, don't give them the John Cena title to fight over, you know what I mean? So I don't think there can't be much to this story unless the Street Profits are going to get Seth Rollins' help to take the tag team titles. But again, that doesn't make sense either. Like, why does he have to do that? So I wish I had the better answer, but that's it. That's what I got.
No, I don't have no answer to that either. If Backlash showed me anything, this just needs to be the Bron Breakker and Paul Heyman show. That's it. I know what they're trying to do with Austin Theory, and Logan Paul is Logan Paul, but you know what? Because Logan Paul is Logan Paul, Austin Theory don't need Paul Heyman, and Logan Paul don't either. Just, hey, y'all go y'all separate ways. Like, I don't think you do a 1980s WWF trade or anything like that. You ain't got a Hercules this situation. Right. But Paul Heyman should just be like, look, especially when we see Maxine Dupri in some cases talking to them both.
Yeah.
And hey, we gonna go over here, fam. Y'all obviously got this going on over here. And if they gotta lose the tag team championships in order for Paul Heyman to be like, yo, I don't really need y'all, then fine. But they don't. They don't need him. And right. He don't need them. So that to me is the hindrance of all of this. Let them two go at it. And we have a great old-fashioned grudge match throughout the year between these two. And we see how far it elevates Bron Breakker. Also, one thing that I didn't know until that day was that the first hour was free on ESPN.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, first.
This is just the new thing. Now every first hour of every PLE is a UFC prelim.
It feels like it. It feels like it. I was like, wait a minute. Now I'm like, you. Like, if we going to do this every PLE, then nah, fam. Like, nope, I'm good. WrestleMania, because of how big WrestleMania is, I get it. But nah, Jack, I'm good on the rest of that. Trick Williams versus Sami Zayn. Trick Williams defeated Sami Zayn to retain his United States Championship. And now they're continuing the bitter story of Sami Zayn, even on Friday Night SmackDown. Ray Phoenix was like, fam, you need to get a grip. Nick Aldis was like, Joe, you tweaking. Everybody trying to tell Sami Zayn, you tweaking. You entitled. Mm-hmm. They used the word entitled to him last night. But Trick Williams, of course, I was going to pick him. And I know you was going to pick him. He's not dropping his title quick.
No.
But do you think this story with Sami Zayn needs to continue at this point?
No, absolutely not. And the reason why it doesn't, because Sami, let's do the turn now. Let's get to it. Let's get to what we really came here for. I don't like even the way he was trying to figure out why the crowd turned on him was soft. He got to stop just doing soft things. He got out here like strawberry sherbet, and it's a problem. It's like, bro, once they start booing, what happened to that hard stop? Hey, listen, even though I never really have The Rock in my top five of a lot of things, and it's not nothing personal, I think we kind of like overrated some of the stuff that he's contributed. I'll tell you what, one of the greatest things that he ever done is did the hard pivot in the feud between him and Roman, where they started booing him, and then boom, we're right to the final boss. Like, skip all that. I don't know why you booing me. I don't get this. I don't get that. No, feed into it. Like, let the crowd determine your character, and let's get this on the road, because This is moving too slow for me, especially when the shows don't have a lot of action to begin with lately.
Yeah. I'm done with the Trick Williams, Sami Zayn thing. In fact, I'm going to do something that I was nervous about. So I'm going to apologize. I'm going to apologize to Lil Yachty.
Okay. Okay.
That direction. We were both like, we don't necessarily need a rapper involved, but I told y'all it was going to be a rapper involved. I know a lot of people have been trying to shit on Boat. Nope. Not going to allow it. Not going to allow it. I am going to salute him for everything that he's doing with this Trick Williams situation. It almost seems perfect for both of them. He's he's not doing too much. He's adding to the story. He's out there taking bumps. Nah, man. I know a lot of people would like the shit on Lil Yachty because of the music and all of that stuff. He's an easy target. Mm-hmm. But I am going to salute him for everything he's doing in that ring with Trick Williams. And there's nothing bad about this situation. So I'm going to apologize for not believing in this, but seeing what they're doing together right now. Nah, man, congratulations to you. Move on. Now, it was funny about the ESPN 1 hour thing is that this literally means that people paid $30. If you ain't got it in your joint, people paid $30 to see Danhausen and Minnehausen go up against the Miz and Kit Wilson.
Yeah, see? Like, you telling me a show like that don't need a Sami Zayn turn?
Now, let me say, I was hoping that Obafemi or somebody come out and we get this over with real quick. This went way longer than I wanted to. But you know what? My kids laughed. And I laughed. I actually enjoyed that match, Kent. I don't ask why. Don't ask how.
Okay.
But before the match that it was, I didn't mind Lil Demonic Doink and Dink versus The Miz and Kit Wilson. I think at this point, right now, it didn't start off well, but it is amazing now. You go look at the merch sales. The crowd was not pissed at that match. Because I was thinking we're about to get a whole bunch of boos.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't. It was fun. In a world full of seriousness, it was fun. Now, I would not have predicted this match at all. It would have literally been a I don't give a shit. But Danhausen and Minnehausen, aka what's the little bull that was with?
El Torito or something like that.
Because that's who Minnehausen was. El Torito. So the Danhausens, or you know, Doink and Dink, Demonic Doink and Dink, beat the Miz and Kit Wilson. Outside of anything that I said, anything on this match. All right, we're moving on to hey, didn't mind praying for this one. EO Sky and Oscar.
Yes.
I don't know how long Oscar gonna be gone. I don't think this gonna be a swan song. They say she's mini retired. If this is what leads you to mini retirement, hey, I'm more upset that this wasn't on WrestleMania.
Yeah, man. Look, this is exactly what we're talking about, right? Because again, first quarter of the year, Io, Asuka, and Kairi were one of the hottest stories in the WWE. No way that match should have been at WrestleMania, and unless they're going to say injury, contract issues, and they need to do the unreal on that. Like, why didn't that match make WrestleMania? Because everything about that match at Backlash, Scream WrestleMania, that actually made this event a real premium live event. It wasn't one until they got out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're giving the first hour free, then the prelims.
Yeah.
This felt like, okay, now we in backlash. But if, let's say, for instance, Asuka's done, what is her legacy in the WWE? Like, what does that look like to you?
Asuka's legacy. You know what? Even though I think the... Oh, wait. Okay, so it's two ways we could look at it as I started thinking about somebody else. Because on one hand, you could say she's arguably one of the top 3 to 5 greatest women of this particular era. But then when you look at the NXT run versus some of this run, you might think like, ah, you know, she was like female Tajiri. However, at the same time, though, I think Asuka has done something for me. I'll put it like this. Asuka, for me, showed me that Japanese superstars can actually have personalities and still be really great in the ring as well. Like, you know, there hasn't been one Japanese superstar that has come over or to the WWE and has not been a great talent, like wrestling-wise. But how many times do they really sell you on catchphrases and entrances and even storylines, if you will? Asuka is one of the very few just Japanese Asian superstars to do that, period, for me. When I really look back, like, Great Muta never sold me on anything. He was just cold. Jushin Thunder Liger never sold me on anything. He just cold. But she was the one for me. And, you know, I'm not talking to, like, the Akira Tozawa level. I'm not really talking about late Tajiri level. When you really look at everything that she's done, actually being Japanese too, because obviously, you know, technically Yokozuna counts, but he don't. When you put all that together, it's like, wow, she might be the greatest Japanese sports entertainer. Mm. And if anything, remember it for that, then maybe trying to put her in the class of top wrestlers, top matches, whatever. Like, no, she just might be the greatest sports entertaining Japanese superstar ever right now.
She's definitely number two on my list. Mm-hmm. Like, if this is the end, she's number two. Okay. It is Great Muta and it is Asuka for me. Those are my two favorite. Those yes. are the two that I enjoy. I randomly listen to Great Muta theme songs, like all of them.
Hey, he do got some fire though.
Oh, look, man, Great Muta got some fire themes that I am so shocked that West Side Gun has never rapped over. Now, I'm so shocked that he's never done that, which leads to the main event of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns resorts to some chicanery to defeat Jacob Fatu,
mm-hmm.
who snaps. Or did mm-hmm. he snap? Is it normal? Hey, was it normal? We threw Adam Pearce out the ring. The Tongan death grip has not looked more sinister since what was that? Since War Games, when Mean debuted and he gave it to Dusty Rhodes. And they was like, and Tony Schiavone was like, oh my God, it's Mean. No. I ain't gonna lie. That's when I miss Tony Schiavone, because this is like, I love Michael Cole.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the tongue and grip, death grip, ain't nobody call it more and better than Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
And you go look back at that start, what was that? What was that joint? Super Brawl, War Games, Match Beyond. Yeah. Hey, man. Oh my God, it's Bang! Like, I just need Tony Schiavone to just do that. Like, I watch AEW just for that. Oh my God, it's Bang! It's Bang! Like, we needed that when it came to the tongue and death grip. But what was your thoughts on the main event? Because, man, Roman Reigns put his cousin over.
Yeah, man. It's, again, heat checks matter. And what I love about this, I thought this was great. Short answer, I thought this was great. And I thought it was great because, you know, the tribal chief run of the past, it's literally the past now. Because here Roman Reigns was with a hot superstar that just happened to be his cousin, but they didn't rely on any true bloodline storyline of old to get us to, one, be invested in this, and as well as to have a good match. Yes, the elements should exist because, I mean, hey, they're all Samoans, and that's just what it is. But I love just from the fact of, you know, Jacob Fatu having the angle of, well, look, I know we family, but I'm not here to be the tribal chief. I'm here to be the WWE champion. My seven kids and I got to eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you got two kids. That's cool. I mean, you got two twins. That's cool. Two sets.
Oh, did you see? Oh, on Raw? On Raw? When he basically told Romanez, you talking all that. Y'all left my kid. Like, my kids was broke.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I was like, okay, there we go. I said, yeah. Fuck that family shit.
Yeah, exactly. So don't invite me to your table now. Don't tell me about the island now. Don't tell me about the family now. No, we're not doing none of that. And so I love the fact that it still took just your classic you got what I need storyline, and then they've blown it up. And if we were ever confused about what Jacob Fatu can do, what Jacob Fatu is capable of as far as booking on the card, like opening mid-card to main event, and if you were ever concerned about his just a trajectory, boy, this match really puts you in a good space to be like, nah, he could do this. It would be unconventional. It wouldn't be like what we've been seeing lately, but boy, can he carry a night if we really need to and close it out. And I think that was the most important thing to show. And that crowd was in it, all the way in it.
Yeah, man. I don't like this version of Roman Reigns versus this version of Jacob Fatu.
Mm.
Here's why. Because Roman is still trying to big homie this dude.
Yeah, okay.
When you get your ass kicked the way you getting your ass kicked, you can no longer big homie this dude. Like, that's out the window now.
That's fair.
Jacob Fatu is now the big homie. There's no way around it. And I thought on Saturday at Backlash, after the match, that was it. Like, you can't big homie this dude now. Now you have to be concerned. And while I love the match, if I ranked it, I would give it 5 stars. If I gave it a grade, I would give it an A. But okay. The reason why I wouldn't give it an A plus is the end of the match and Roman saying, hey, he don't belong here. And I said, how caring can you be now, man?
Right.
Like, now if we're doing this, now we caring shit.
Yeah,
I told y'all he was too dangerous. Like, fam, what?
Yeah, hey, he definitely pulled them. What was my man from House Party 2 that's trying to hook it up for the black?
Yeah, he was bloody ass. So I was like, wait a minute, whoa. When he said that, I was like, I said, I'm gonna watch this, I'm gonna watch the post show just to see if we get more. Because Roman's saying, this is why I said he ain't belong here. Bruh, you've been out here emotionally damaging your whole entire family through this process. And you've been violent too. He gave you the tongue and death grip. Now it's, you don't belong here. Okay. Right. Unless they're about to tell me, yo, Roman, you scared, you a bitch right now. You acting like a little bitch right now. Then this storyline to me ain't hitting the way it should.
Yeah.
Now, and Jacob's part of this. Whooping everybody ass?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he ready.
But Roman's reaction is, oh, man, see, this is why I told y'all she ain't belong here. But then the next day say, well, I'm the reason why you're here, because I had to sign off on it. Well, shit. What? Why did you say what you said on Saturday, fam? Like I told you. Who had to convince you to give your cousin a second chance at life? He just got out of prison. Because that's what y'all trying to make it sound like. Yo, he just got out of prison, and then he signed with the WWE. So, on a transition to Jacob Fatu and what we saw, what we've been seeing. Now, Jacob Fatu, in consecutive weeks, basically, destroyed his cousin's faction, the MFTs, whooped everybody ass.
Hey, again, a super terrible 1v4. I mean, 1v3.
Right.
Like, come on. Hey, look, you know it's over. You need to get released when that happened. I'm sorry. Sorry.
And Jeff Cobb and the other Haku-san, Camacho, they got released. So okay. Right after that, they went home. So you're right. But then on Monday after Backlash, when they want to do an acknowledgement ceremony, which I thought was stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, he gonna acknowledge me tonight. He just gave you the tongue and death grip for the whole match.
Right.
Like he was doing it and letting it go. He was
right.
But now we're gonna do an acknowledgement ceremony.
Yeah.
Look, we all knew how this was gonna go.
For sure.
But normally in these situations, because Roman Reigns is supposed to be the face in this. This is why I'm confused on a lot of this. Roman Reigns is supposed to be the face, but Roman Reigns is doing heel shit. An acknowledgement ceremony, that's some heel shit. Trying to force this dude to acknowledge you, that's some heel shit.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jacob do? What I would consider the face shit. He whooped Roman Reigns' ass.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker in this is that he didn't just whoop Roman Reigns' ass. He whooped Jey Uso's ass. He whooped Jimmy Uso's ass. And it wasn't close. The world heavyweight champion and his cousins, who one is a former world champion, got demolished by one guy that just so happens to be their cousin.
Yeah.
Who may or may not be a blood. So there's gang ties in this too.
I'll go May.
So it felt like to me that Jacob Fatu was the city kid and he whooped everybody in Naperville's ass that think they hard. That's how you got Roman, Jay, and Jimmy looking like. Y'all from Naperville. I'm from Holy City. Y'all need to give me the belt. Y'all ain't even care for me while I was in jail. My kids was out there on 18th struggling while y'all in Naperville kicking in the downtown Naperville with your friends.
You know what I'm saying? I'm whooping, features and all that.
I'm whooping all y'all ass. And that's the Jacob Fox who did. So my first question, is Jacob Fatu the monster heel we want or just the tweener that scares us?
You gotta go tweener that scares us right now, because that crowd is in it. It's like American Werewolf in London, but they cheering for him to eat everybody. I was like, oh, wait, y'all want the werewolf to run amok in the city? Oh my God.
Keep going, because I'm confused.
Yeah, man. It's and you know, and because you know the Tribal Chief character is a heel character, and it's Roman Reigns with the title does not need to ignite the cheers. He needs to be himself and let just the energy react, right? Because what he's doing now, it's so funny, because it's almost like this version of Roman Reigns is a lot of corporate Triple H and Vince McMahon and Mr. McMahon. It's like the Mr. McMahon character and the Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the Helmsley McMahon era, like that kind of stuff. Like telling people they don't belong here. It's people like you and all that stuff. But then he's the champ and he's dominant. He's trying to hold him to the belt by any means. So I do like the character under the aspect of, like, okay, you're remixing. I've been watching wrestling long enough to see, like, oh, okay, I kind of see what you're doing here. Because we never seen nothing like the Tribal Chief. But now where does he go when the Bloodline storyline is over, but he's the champ again for a new title and a new challenger that happens to be family? And he don't care about none of that family stuff. So I do like that. However, that's such a heel character through and through that you gotta cheer for Jacob Fatu because, hey, even this economy that we live in, everybody know what it's like to be broke, what it's like to have your kids and they gotta eat. And you know what? Hey, listen, I know Uncle Kenny was saying that he was gonna kick me down, but he never did. Now, see, I'd be wrong if I go in there, slap the ish out of dude, and just take 10 grand out the safe. But I'm trying to ask nicely, but I'm done asking. And that's what makes this so good. on the surface level, it's just that we're going to cheer for everybody, even though we shouldn't be cheering for nobody.
Jacob Fatu in this situation is the tweener that we need. There is nothing that Jacob Fatu is saying that I feel is heel worthy. If y'all are gonna go with the storyline that Jacob Fatu is dangerous because he spent time in jail, well, Jacob Fatu saying I spent time in jail and y'all ain't look out for my family, but y'all want the bloodline to be family. That, my friends, is how people get their ass beat. When you want me to acknowledge you as the head of the table, but you've not done anything for my family. In this situation, Roman Reigns is the heel, and he should be the heel. He should be the arrogant heel. Mm-hmm. He should be the corporate TKO heel in this case. Man, I'm Jacob Fatu. I got to grind, scratch, and crawl, whatever it is, for everything I got. Mm-hmm. And you sitting over here getting this from the corporation. You say that you run this place. Well, if you run this place, why I'm just getting a piece of the pie? And why are you undercutting me? No, you got to get your ass beat. He's the tweener that we need. However, he's the monster heel that we've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. We've been looking for. I'm nervous, and I'll tell you why I'm nervous in a bit, but the way he just did Roman Reigns. Roman, you ain't slick. I'm gonna take this away from the ring a little bit. It's still ring, but Roman, you ain't slick. Roman, you saw the love that Obafemi was getting.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it. You saw what was going on with Oba. You heard them chants after WrestleMania. You're doing whatever you can to get your cousin to where you want and need him to be, mm-hmm, for your family. So technically, when we talk about the boardroom and storyline and the creative situation, Roman Wright, hey, fam, you need me in this situation because Oba was out here gotten white kids doing this and shit and all of that. Now we got this Obafemi challenge, and yeah, he whooped on his ass. But who we talking about? We talking about Jacob Fatu. Because yeah, I'm going to do whatever I can to get my family over. And we ain't talked about Obafemi like we've been talking about Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, you ain't slick. You can fool any, you can't fool a real nigga. You can fool them, but you can't fool a real nigga. Cause we have, I'm talking about the Obafemi conversation has stopped. When we talk about dominating,
yeah.
Oh, it, that shit ended when he whooped the motherfucking team ass.
Yeah.
And it was put the rest where he whooped one world champion, a former world champion, and Jimmy Uso ass, with no challenge. With no challenge. Like, that was no challenge. That was other than Roman giving him the Superman punch, it was no, like, challenge. This is essentially Rocky IV without Adrian.
Dang it.
This is Rocky III with Clubber Lang. It's more Rocky III than it is Rocky IV, but I ain't see Apollo Creed get his ass whooped.
Yeah.
Paulo got his ass whooped twice. That's Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso.
Hey, but look, but for the Rocky III parallel, the Usos are Apollo Creed, though. Because when he said, "You better get the bad look off your face before I knock it off."
Oh, yeah,
come on,
no.
Creed. Come on, Creed. Like, he was like, "Hey, I've been dying to knock you out, though."
Yeah, I've been dying to knock you out. That's what happened. The Russian did it. That's what it's like. Two stories. It's like two movies combined.
Yeah.
Hey, Clubber Lang ain't get a chance to whoop your ass, but this Russian did.
Yeah.
He died. And Jimmy and Jey Uso is the equivalent of Apollo Creed in this situation. This is them.
Throw the damn towel.
Right, Dre, throw the damn towel. Throw the damn towel. Yes, throw the damn towel. Now, Kemp, let me give you my concern now.
Okay.
We had a situation like this when it came to a Samoan who came through and he was a monster, crushing everybody. Mm-hmm. He was crushing everybody, fam. Face paint on. Mm-hmm. He had that dude that looked like Mambo Number 5 as his manager.
Yeah. Yeah, my nigga.
And he they uncle and cousin. Mm. We talking about Umaga.
Yeah.
Umaga was a monster.
Yes.
He was killing everybody. But you know what he never got? He never got the world championship.
Yeah.
He was destroying John Cena. Umaga was killing John Cena. Mm-hmm. But John Cena, hey, made it work in them last man standing matches and all them other matches.
Yeah.
He had it. He got him. Held him down so he won't get up, so he can lose. Mm-hmm. But then you got to me, my favorite monster heel of all time. The man who went up against the world champion and squashed him. Had one of the greatest world champions of all time in a limo. Before he even got in the limo, he had let his family know, "I'm gonna come back. I love y'all." And the family was like, "I don't know if you're coming back, Dad."
Right. Yeah. Hey,
but we love you too. Vader squashed Sting, ladies and gentlemen. And Vader had us scared for Ric Flair's life.
Yeah. For sure.
Mean Gene Oakland was with him the whole ride. Charlotte was Ashley. And Ashley was like, "Daddy, don't go."
Yeah.
Rick was "Daddy got to do it."
Yeah, that looked more like 2020 or Dateline than it did a wrestling interview.
Vader is a multiple-time world champion. Umaga is not.
Yeah.
I am nervous that this is going to be a Umaga situation. That Jacob Fatu gonna do all of this and never win that world championship, when I believe this should be more like Vader. If they wrestle each other at Clash in Italy, Jacob Fatu should leave Italy the world heavyweight champion, and they should have him chase Fatu to try to get it back. Thoughts?
So I see where you're going, and it makes total sense. However, I would like to say this in regards to really put over Jacob Fatu in a different way. That's out of the ring, so to speak. Because what you said about the difference between Vader and Umaga, very valid, right? Vader had Harley Race to start. And I never have been the biggest fan of Harley Race talking, especially when some of the things that he said came out like kind of racist to me, even on TV. But I don't know one standout promo from Harley Race that I remember. And that's not to say that he didn't have any, and he was just probably just a better talker than Vader. And then you got Umaga, who had Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Right. Number five.
You know what I'm saying? And even though he had a little bit of management in his life, I don't think that that would have lasted week to week with him coming out there talking about his Samoan bulldozer. Oh my God. So now I say all that to say Ziggy Fatu is a better talker than all four of them combined.
Yeah.
And I think that what we are witnessing here is the hybrid of the monster heel that needed the manager. I wouldn't even put Paul Heyman with Jacob Fatu right now because I like the unpredictability. I like the fact that he's in control and out of control at the exact same time. I think that everything that Jacob Fatu can do is unseen and unheard. Now, look, even just going back to the old VKM era, right? You don't give him the WWE championship, but he absolutely could be the world heavyweight championship. And yes, there is a distinction, ladies and gentlemen. A certain type of superstar holds the WWE championship, always has and always will. The most out of character I think you can get is Mick Foley and all of his characters. That's probably like the only like X Factor one, but everyone else that's the WWE champion, it's gonna come with a suit and tie and your ability to get in front of the Today Show and cut that kind of promo interview wise for the people. So for me, I do see world champion in the sights of Jacob Fatu, because I think he's literally just the literal evolution of a character dynamic as well as a pairing that we always like. It's just wrapped up into one person and probably done the best it's going to be done for a while.
Yeah, my only thing when it comes to this is, when you look at this right now, of course you think Roman don't stand a chance in hell. But because of that, Roman is not even acting like a face to me. So that's the only thing that hurts this to me. What concern do I have for Roman Reigns at this point? In order for me to care if he wins or loses this. In fact, I want him to lose this so bad just because Jacob Fatu is literally telling you, you did shit for me.
Right. You ain't looking out for your people.
And here's how I know I'm right. There was a wrestler that we talked about on this podcast a couple of weeks ago that we both was like, hey, man, technically, Fam was the face and the other dude was the heel. All this is to me is Nails whooping Big Boss Man's ass.
Yeah, it's like, yo, now looking out for your family when you got it, and we seen you out here popping it. It's like, yeah, nah, man, you kind of got to come off that title.
I see you out here with the Bloodline Jordans. I see you out there with the room, the private jet. You kicking it with Big Cuz the Rock. I had to get it out the mud. You didn't. You know who your daddy is? Your daddy is Office. Your daddy is Alpha or Seeker. Know who my daddy is? Yeah, my daddy was one of the Islanders, because Haku taught my daddy the Tonga Death Grip, and my daddy taught me that. He was the Samoan Savage, but he not looked at the same level as your daddy and Big Uncle. I had trouble with the law. Y'all see that video? I don't know if you saw that video of that circulated this week of Jacob Fatu at Umaga's funeral.
Oh yeah, talking about check me on MySpace.
Yeah. Jacob Fatu is a nigga.
Yeah. Hey, that what Jacob Fatu did there, now I gotta look into the lineage of what part of Africa Samoans come from. Because ain't no way he's not a black person or something of African descent. That was, you know, I know we're in the sensitive time, right? But man, some people come across so authentic in their speech, in their character, their demeanor. Like, he was a black person to me.
Fam, I am telling you all, I mean, I'm basically saying all of these things because for me, I know where I grew up at. I know what I grew up around. Mm-hmm. I know how I talk to people. I know how people talk to me. Mm-hmm. The most authentic character in wrestling for me mm-hmm. in the last 20, 25 years is Jacob Fatu. Mm. That's why I loved him at MLW. And that's why I love him here. Mm. But to hear him basically tell Roman Reigns, fam, my family was down while y'all was up and y'all didn't look out for them. Mm-hmm. I feel that way more than I would ever feel if you were to ask me to acknowledge my tribal chief and put the one up. Mm-hmm. That no longer feels authentic to me. What feels authentic to me is the struggle. I said the struggle.
I was like, oh man, we got some new stuff happening.
We got some new shit. What feels more authentic to me is the struggle, the grind, the pain of Jacob Fatu. Getting it out the mud and doing whatever you can, however you can, to go ahead and get that. That is more authentic and relevant to me in this storyline than the dude with the Bloodline Jordans, the dude that went to college, the dude that went to Georgia Tech, mm-hmm. the dude that had it handed to him in the WWE, and his cousins who did too. Because in fact, his cousins was in the WWE before he was.
Yeah,
that feels more authentic to me. I had to get it in the independence while y'all was out here getting it. And y'all ain't asked me to slide through. Y'all ain't take care of me. That seems more authentic. And unless Roman is going to say, fam, you had the same opportunities as me. I just decided to do things this way. Yeah, my brother mm-hmm. was here before me too. And y'all too. In fact, the dude you look up to and my brother was a tag team. But my brother was also around this joint, a big-ass superhero.
yeah.
Unless Roman about to go and dig deep in that way, which I don't feel he will, and honestly, I don't feel he can. Jacob fought too for the world championship. Yeah. Now, give him the belt. Roman, go on vacation with the kids. Jay, go talk to Jada. Jimmy, go with Naomi. Be a family man. It's Jacob's world.
No, hey, listen, you're not wrong. And the other reason why Roman can't sell the other direction the same way is because, hey, look, the tribal chief character is literally him saying, it's his own superhero story, right? It's like, yo, I got to avenge my family because it's too many other wrestling families being put ahead of ours when we really the foundation of this. So his whole thing was, I'm taking the belts, I'm taking the torch, I'm carrying this. Now we up there with the Rhodes and the Funks and the Von Erichs. Matter of fact, we over them now. It's because of the work that I put in. And if it ain't for me, our family ain't what it is. And Jacob is like, wait, but hold on, what you mean our family? Because ain't I in it? When do I benefit from this?
Who is we?
Right.
Who is we?
Exactly. So that's the ill part. It's like, and they the same generation. Like, it's like, yo, but you saying that, but you ain't really looking out for the whole family like your pops did, and like your uncle did, like Yokozuna did before. It's like all of that. So that is what makes this palatable. And I am curious though to see the route that Roman Reigns takes, though, because the character he becomes in this is definitely setting up the next match. So I'm actually curious, like, where he goes with this.
Look, man, all Jacob Fatu was telling me is that he was the cousin who spent the night over at the house but you had to look around the corner to see if anything came up miss. And that's little Jacob over there. You know Jacob Steele.
You know.
And Jacob ain't even him. Like, but Jacob was like, yo, I steal, but I don't steal from the family. Why y'all worried about me? I don't steal from y'all. I steal from people. I actually just beat two dudes' ass that was trying to fight Joe and Joe and them. What we doing? Okay. Oh, y'all don't like me like that? Okay. He's the outcast of the family. And I love this for him. I just hope they don't Umaga him. I hope they give him that belt. Roman, just go the extra mile and let him win that belt at Clash at Italy. And y'all wonder, like, how y'all got them wonder about Seth Rollins? Is it time? I need y'all to have that same worry for Roman.
Right.
Then go put the Rocky IV. There's no easy way out. I want all that. Now I want Jacob Fatu versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam.
Mm.
And I want Jacob to come in as the champion. And I want Roman to have to chase that. I want Roman to have to dig deep to say, hey, I can't just do like I did with Jimmy and Jay. Emotionally, hey, Jacob been through too much shit for me to be able to manipulate him. Yeah. I got to do something different. Not saying Lil Cuz is mentally weak, but they mentally weak. Jacob, Jacob then been through it all, fam. He ain't mentally weak. He mentally strong. I can't manipulate him. Now I got to fight. And I want them to fight at SummerSlam. Let's get it. August 2nd. We not all gas, no brakes with it. We not playing around. Roman got to get off that I'm the tribal chief shit. He got to show just because I grew up in Naperville, fam, that don't mean I can't fight.
Right. Facts, you do got to prove it. You do got to prove it.
Yeah, you got to prove it. All right, man. What was also announced at Backlash was the John Cena Classic. John Cena announced the John Cena Classic, but it wasn't a lot of details. But here's what we know. The format will be a fan-voted PLE that pits NXT superstars versus main roster superstars. A brand new title with Cena's name is going to debut, and the winner will not be returned. The winner will not be determined by a win. It's going to be determined by the fan vote. So a wrestler can lose and still be voted champion.
Yeah.
And this is going to be recurring. Excuse me, and not a one-off. Kent, I'm just going to get this out the way because I really wanted to hear your thoughts on when this happened. I think it was me and Donnie on Twitter called this the Head Nigga Damn Championship.
Y'all not wrong at this point.
It's the Head Nigga Damn Championship. This is the... Hey, so y'all think we can't do... We can't run creative? Right, who you want to be champion then? You pick them. You pick them championship. Like, this sounds like some old work shit, Cap. This is you pick them.
Right. All right. The you pick them. You know what I'm saying?
The you pick them championship.
Just upload your image. Right. With 250 words or less. On why you should be the champion.
This is the second street championship. this is the, man. All right, you got it. Go ahead. Hey, this ain't even Cyber Sunday because I'm with you, Donnie, but this ain't even Cyber Sunday because at the end you had like when who was that? Sheldon Benjamin wrestled. They picked Sheldon Benjamin to wrestle Chris Jericho. Mm-hmm. Like they did have to wrestle, and then he won. Sheldon Benjamin could lose in this case, and they'd be like, you know what? Hey, we like Sheldon Benjamin enough. He gonna win. He the champ.
It's like straight like that. That's what we doing. We just do that.
Kemp, the floor is yours.
Man, so I have a couple things. My first thing as John Cena was delivering this update was that, oh, wait, they're bringing back the TV title? But then by the time, because I was like, oh man, okay, another title. That's the, especially with the way he was talking it up, because everything about that was like, oh, John Cena popping this talk about how he was the reason why people watch Raw and watch SmackDown, and how it helps to be a great TV asset. So, but then he was like, the title gonna be named later. Hey, I don't want the Hustle, Loyalty, and Respect Championship. I don't want the John Cena commemorative Iron Man title or whatever. Like, if this title is named after John Cena, I will be extremely upset. I'll be extremely upset because, one, we don't need this. And two, we starting off on the wrong foot. And here is the wrong foot. And they should amputate this foot and throw it away. Chick Losing foot. Your way to a title is crazy. I don't care what it is. There's how, hey, this is the Fail Forward Championship. So, hey, look, you know, it's like, no, come on, man. No, I don't. We're not giving out titles because you got the You Deserve It clap for 90 seconds. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. Why? How do you want this taken seriously? Because. Hey,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. But you just said it. This is the You Deserve It championship. You deserve it. You deserve it. This is the title to give to that dude who had a great match, lost, but the fans fell in love, and they was like, yo, he should get a push.
Hey, well, in that case, call it the IWC title. Like the Internet Wrestling Community Championship. That's what it can be called. Because, hey, this is good. Like, you need to be dumped directly on your head as soon as you deserve the title that you lost your way to. That's insane. That is insane. And I don't even understand why John Cena would want to put his name near this title. The guy that literally showed you how to avoid being Future Endeavor. And it didn't come by losing matches. What y'all doing? What y'all doing? Hey, who work at TKO? I need everybody's name. I need everybody's names right now. Who work over there? What are y'all doing? This ain't it. Hey, look, if you want to call it the Barry Horowitz title, you want to go dig up Barry Horowitz and be like, yo, this is for the people that, you know what, we mess with you even if you never win. That's cool, because I mess with Barry Horowitz all day. Mad pats on the back. I'm here to do whatever you want to do, but not for John Cena. Give me the loser belt. Give me the green ribbon championship. That's what we're doing now. We can give the Hurricane Helms. Is he going to come back? Oh, wait, no, it's the present versus the future. That's right.
So, nah, skip so. Who should win? Like, if you think like the Internet Wrestling Community.
Hey, listen, let's go back to our WrestleMania predictions. You know who this title is for right now, based on everything that's been said, and just based on this segment? It's for Javon Evans. That's who's going to win this. Because he's won one match in 3 months. And most likely, they're going to put him in there against well, if it wasn't the other title, it'd be like Sheamus, and then he'd lose. But they'd be like, oh, but you know, man, that was such a great performance. And this is what I was worried about. This is what I was worried about. Because he's so over with the young people, and he's so polarizing to watch in the ring. But they can't make sense of why he should get a title match against Roman Reigns or be picked over Obafemi. Yes, it looked realistic for him to beat CM Punk, but he ain't here no more. Well, he's not here as far as the title picture is concerned. And you don't know what that would do for either of them. Like, I don't know if CM Punk is in the best position for Javon Evans to go over on him either. So you essentially don't have anybody at the top of the card that he can beat to justify him being a world champion. So we're just going to give him the green ribbon title because we know everybody likes him. And that is going to be my problem with this title.
So we close. But considering if same thing you said, considering that everything we heard around WrestleMania time, I think this is the Carmelo Hayes title.
I think
this is the Carmelo Hayes title. This is the title that goes for the dude that had the United States Championship. He brought it back to prominence. He did all of that just to lose it to Sami Zayn, to then lose it to Trick Williams, who he used to be partners with. So it's like, man, your man's got your title, fam. You couldn't even do nothing that WrestleMania with. If I'm looking at the internet wrestling community, I would say that Carmelo Hayes is going to win this. However, Camp, what's the demo?
White men, age 18 to 34.
So I think we're going to have to do a better job at looking at one of those people. It ain't going to be Sami Zayn because they booing him right now.
Yeah.
So then I started looking and I was like, wait a minute. Who's like the top white guy? Like, who's the top white meat babyface guy? That's Caucasian.
Oh, yeah, see? Oh, well, the top one would be Bron Breakker.
What I will say is this. They better figure it out. Because, man, it would be lame as hell if they just give some random ass niggas his title. Or some shit like that. Nah, we ain't gonna do that. So, as we check to see if Camp is going to jump back on, because, you know, yesterday was his birthday, so the internet is probably drunk right now. Real quick, I don't know if you guys have saw it, but Kevin Nash is petitioning wrestlers to unionize. Excuse me. Kevin Nash is petitioning wrestlers to unionize. Now, as we noticed, 30 names have been released across Raw, SmackDown, NXT. And then we have the New Day contract. Now, the New Day contract was the big ticket item here, because then the reason why the New Day is released is not because of anything other than they did not want to renew the contract as we're back. So, Kemp, I continued with the New Day being released from the WWE. Now, with the New Day being released from the WWE, the big thing there is really not that they was released because of talent or anything like that. They asked for their release after TKO asked them to renegotiate their contract. And they was like, nah, we ain't doing that. Take a 50% pay cut. Nah, dog, y'all tripping. What's your thoughts? So I'm going to keep going and saying that the New Day thing shocked me. But when you look at everything, when you listen to what we've said here on this show, and there you are. I think you're back. There you go.
All right.
So again, just to reset, we're talking about the New Day release. The New Day gets released not because of talent. They were asked to take a 50% pay cut by TKO, and the New Day was like, shit, y'all got me fucked up.
Yeah.
So, but because of that, 30 people have been released in the last couple of weeks. Kevin Nash has said that wrestlers need to unionize. In fact, this is what Kevin Nash said. Take one of the programs that's written down and you tell me that program isn't more heavily written and more produced than Curb Your Enthusiasm was. And then all of those actors that went on that show got SAG paid. So why don't you guys go and see if you could get unionized through the Screen Actors Guild? They'll be more than happy to take their fucking cut of your money, but it won't be 50%. That'll change the ball game. There's one thing that Endeavor does know, because it's all Endeavor's deal. Endeavor knows the game. That's what they do. It's their home run. So if they're good at the game, let the boys play by those rules. Know the game. You can't have it both ways. You can't can't play Endeavor at the fucking top with a 300% increases in fucking 1099 doctor workers that fucking Brad Pitt and fucking Pacino. You can't do both. Is it time for wrestlers to unionize?
Yes. Yes, it is, because any industry that's billions of dollars, you need to protect yourself because the money is getting so big, but it's also becoming very lopsided. Technically, I think we live in a world where professional wrestler, even if it's independent, should at least be a $40,000 to $45,000 salary job or whatever, what have you. And I say that because ticket prices of everything is up. And this is a little something I know just about live shows in general. Just for energy purposes, location, booking. Matter of fact, it's a cat in Nashville that throw indie wrestling shows like every week. And just his cost of materials and booking the venues and all of that. And he's even had a couple people that I've seen online that's indie. They've made their way through Nashville. If it was unionized, you would have a situation where many of those wrestlers, the younger independent wrestlers, would also get more money as well. There should be like a league minimum or like a federation a minimum, especially when you look at how many ads take place throughout just one segment of a wrestling event now. Not even one show, not one PLE, but like just one segment and one match. So with all of that said, this is actually the perfect time to unionize, because you know you're not getting that Cricket Wireless money. You know you're not getting the Jack Lynx money. You're not getting the Slim Jim money unless you're Jey Uso or LA Knight. You know, I think that's a play. Now, why so many people doing a Slim Jim commercial now? Why? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much money that are being made off the name, image, and likenesses, right? Because that's a big thing in college as well. So, yeah, unionize and say, nah, we need at least X, or at least make sure the pot still pays for you. And if nothing else, like if you do get released, you're in the contract. Okay, well, hey, let me do my ad spots then until I can get out of my contract. There's a lot of ways to negotiate this. It's still one of the most dangerous sports in the world. It's one of the hardest ways to make a living. And we've already seen The Wrestler. We've seen Dark Side of the Ring. If we're really about changing everything that comes with that, part of that is making sure that wrestlers are financially compensated fairly and consistently. No better time. I totally agree with Kevin Nash on this one.
Yeah, I agree with him too. I know this is something that Jesse the Body Ventura tried to do years ago, and Hulk Hogan was like, yo, Vince, he trying to unionize, man. I'm trying to go and holler. At this point, I don't think there's no other way to be able to combat what TKO is doing, what Endeavor is doing, than to unionize. Now, this affects the business as a whole. And you can't unionize and not look at the wrestlers at AEW and in any major corporation. Mm-hmm. So when one thing affects one, it's gonna affect all. But it's been past time. But now when you have corporate entities like TKO, and then when you look at AEW and possibly what's going to happen with their deal or not after this Paramount purchase and all of this stuff with Warner and stuff. It's too much money going around. It's way too much money. Mm-hmm. And with that money going around, it is way too much being put on the wrestler to have to take the brunt of what you can take yourself. You go look and see how much all of those people at the top have made. Mm-hmm. And then I got to take a pay cut. And this is the contract me and you negotiated.
Right. Right.
Like, and I didn't negotiate this contract with Vince. I negotiated with y'all, and y'all telling me I got to do what?
Right.
Nah. And you're going to start to see this more often. In fact, there's been reports that said that TKO has asked many wrestlers to take pay cuts, and some have. Now, they said that there's certain wrestlers at the tippy top that have not had that conversation.
Yeah.
But who the fuck is that?
Right. See, what I don't like about this, and again, this is the pro wrestling versus combat sports argument again, and I'm going to say the first Black Champ podcast is the first people to really bring out the combat sports versus pro wrestling conversation. You know, one thing that used to happen amongst wrestling, especially in the WWE, is that you can tell that a lot of superstars were paid for the work they done and the bricks they laid. You know, Steve Austin was definitely compensated at his worth because he created Austin 316 and the residualness of what that meant from WrestleMania to WrestleMania and to just the mass hysteria of everything that was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, and D-Generation X, two entities that, yes, it probably paid him when he had Philippians on his chest, but it should, because the people that were watching during that time are probably still watching now. We just had a segment not too long ago on this platform where we said the New Day is responsible for sports entertainers today like Javon Evans. And so that's why they don't need a pay cut. It's because you're literally looking at the future of who they inspired. You forget this tag team division almost was not a division until the New Day and the Usos started going out on pre-shows and was burning the house down. That's why they don't need pay cuts. This isn't like football, basketball, hockey, soccer, UFC. This isn't the place where your moment is always wrapped up into your MVP game or your MVP season or your the championship you won. No, wrestling was about creating moments, and the New Day has been a part of so many moments that are still residually helping out the WWE. And I think that needs to get explained to the TKO Endeavor office once they realize who they're asking to do what as far as compensation. It's like, dude, you realize I've been around for 20 years and people are still watching because of me. And like, you know, and sorry, that don't happen with Tito Ortiz or Chuck Liddell or anybody like that. And it don't necessarily happen with Barry Sanders or Emmitt Smith, but it happens in wrestling. And that's why you can't treat wrestling like you do everything else. It's to be respected as an athletic competition. It's to be respected as a sport, but you don't treat them the same way as far as compensation goes.
Yeah, so something got to change. We'll see. It's to be very interesting. And if TKO is going to go at it like this, then wrestling is going to change. And I got a feeling when it gets to 2027, yeah, wrestling is going to change more than what we know. Some real quick predictions before we get to Do We Care. These are matches that are slated for Saturday night's main event that is going down on the 23rd. Six women tag match, Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, and Alexa Bliss versus Jade Cargill, B-Fab, and Mee Chin. This is Saturday night's main event, so I don't think the good women winning.
Nah, Jay got to keep that momentum back up. I saw her throwing ass on TikTok too.
Love that.
You know what I'm saying? Jay and the gang for the win.
And I agree with you on that one, because then it sets up whatever they got to set up for the good women to win. Intercontinental Championship. A wrestler that you ain't necessarily fond of, Penta versus Ethan Page. Who you got?
Oh, man. You know, and not only because I'm not fond of him, but I think Ethan Page. I think I think we're drawing that straws for trying to make that second wave of come-ups from NXT matter, and this is a way to make them matter.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Ethan Page for this one right here in the shocking upset. Ethan Page is somebody that I didn't necessarily like when he first got to the WWE. I felt like he was better for AEW where he had left and TNA where he was the champ there. But no, Ethan Page, I rock with. He's one of my new favorites. Got Ethan Page for the win. World Tag Team Championships, Logan Paul and Austin Theory versus the Street Profits. Who you got?
I'm definitely going with the Profits now that Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins are back on TV weekly. We can kill all this vision talk. Let's get it on out of here. Let's get Logan Paul back to being the singles competitor. He was way more over in that regard. He was doing better. I think nobody has been hurt more from this vision thing than him. And it's time to let this go.
I got the no pullout game winning. But they're going to win by disqualification to continue this storyline. Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, if you guys don't know, both of their wives are expecting babies. We know Bianca Belair, but Angelo Dawkins can't revealed that his wife is expecting as well. So congrats to the No Pullout Gang.
You know what I'm saying?
We see you. We support you. We rock with you. And we feel like you're going to win. Can't feel like y'all gonna win the title. Y'all gonna win, but y'all gonna win by disqualification to keep this storyline going. All right, let's get to our favorite segment, a segment that y'all know and love. It is called Do We Care? Speaking of the New Day, do we care about the possibility of the New Day heading to AEW? I know they've talked about wanting to wrestle the Super Kick Gang. As I always call them, so it'd be a whole bunch of super kicks going around, which I think will be a great match. But do we care about the New Day going to AEW?
Yeah, you know, we care because the New Day is, again, just one of those names in wrestling over the past 15 years for sure. You just care about 10 years, I'm sorry, it was 2015 when they started. But yes, if they want to face the Bucks, okay. You know, I don't love them. But I think that any chance that you get a decorated black team, especially like the New Day, to go anywhere and really pop it and show off is just a win. So, yeah, definitely care.
Oba Femi's open challenge. That means Jacob Fatu is taking over the dominant role. Pause, but do we care about Oba Femi's open challenge?
No, we don't care because now we're in that scorching hot, but let's kind of bring it back and show you the dominance, right? He's meant to be an attraction, so this is the right setup. I did want a slower burn, but I don't know if this is it because you're not going to now find a competitor bigger or badder than Oba Femi right now to stop this train of the open challenges. Like, that's not going to happen. So he should be starting to beat people of prominence to make us answer the question, why hasn't he got the title shot yet? Versus, I'm sick of Oba Femi beating up catering every week.
I don't care. I need him to be in a blood feud with somebody.
Mm.
And it's not going to be the case. And quite honestly, I think what would be great, I know we've said our WrestleMania predictions and we talk about yours that didn't necessarily go well. Mm. I throw out one that I would love to see. Eventually, Oba Femi versus Jacob Fatu.
Hey, listen, that's the next. But like, will one of them have a title though?
They don't need it. They don't need it. Just two big meaty men slapping me.
If that's what you want to do, you know.
I will tell you somebody that we should care about. He's big. He's bad. He will body slam your dad. Hey, man, look. Real Cruz, English wrestler that has made his name in the independent scene. He's went viral doing a whole bunch of submission and finishing moves and stuff. Spectacular. He is now with the WWE. He is now Mason Rook.
Yeah.
I feel like we will be caring about Mason Rook, and to the point where I would not be surprised if we talk about an NXT superstar that could win this John Cena thing. It's him, because who's a huge fan of him? John Cena. This man is big as hell, jumping all across the ring. Like I said, go look him up. You'll see some of the finishers and things that he's been doing in the ring. And I am telling you right now, as much as I rock with Tony D'Angelo, he can go ahead and drop that belt and go to the main roster, because Mason Rook will be, in my eyes, the biggest star in NXT in 2027. If you don't know him, if you don't care about him, go ahead and look him up, because I am telling you right now, star in the making. But I did laugh when people were saying, is that a male or a female? Not even going front.
Yeah, I saw some of those comments too. I seen some of his highlights. He looked like he's the real deal. It's the part of something that they were I was watching on, I think it might have been YouTube or it might have been Instagram. He looked like that. I think it was like a Kevin. No, it was like a Kevin Owens documentary or something. And then I could see like a lot of that in what I was watching in this highlight. So I'm actually very curious. I do care for sure.
Look, man, it's Pac is going to be dominating NXT. So y'all match my, and if y'all don't know who It's Pat is, just go look at Saturday Night Live in the 90s. hi guys. But no, any guarantees?
Yes. And I've been holding this one for a couple weeks. That's what she said. I guarantee that we can stop the call-ups after WrestleMania. And I say that because there's a lot of great talent that has been ushered up to the main roster. And I know there were a lot of releases. But man, do y'all realize that the bar right now to come to NXT and make an impact is Oba Femi and Trick Williams? Like, that's just a small task. Everything looks small in comparison to that.
I'll add JC Jane and them too. Fatal Influences came up on the main roster, and man, they killing it.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. So you got them. Ricky Starks, again, I'm still high on Ricky Starks forever, but this was a bad time. It was a bad time because of how Cody won the title. It's a bad time because of the promos that Cody's cutting. And the fact is that Ricky Starks is unable to make basically what would have been his Trick Williams impact, because they're literally the same wrestler in a lot of ways. It's just that one is black and one is Latino. And there's not room enough for two of them. That should have been Trick Williams coming out during Cody's segment anyway, just because of what he's done, beating up his friend and taking a U.S. title. No way that shouldn't have been Trick Williams in that spot anyway. So all I'm saying to that regard is, it's not that everybody picked men and women, everybody selected deserved it, but man, you got to let the bird cook slow. You got to slow walk the dog. There's too much momentum around three entities right now that already exist that just got there. I think there was more work that could have been done to maybe increase the firepower for maybe them in NXT, or to just maybe usher them after SummerSlam, because everybody will cool down a little bit over the summer, but now wasn't a good time.
Yeah, well, look, I don't have any guarantees. I have a guarantee hope. And my guarantee hope is that Jacob Fatu will be your next World Heavyweight Champion. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Right? I don't want to see... Hey, if Roman is going to be wrestling in Italy, I don't want to see him with that championship until SummerSlam, where he finally gets over the hump of Jacob Fatu. But when you talk about a character, a person who's been killing it, and you have to look and say, yo, we probably were gonna go in this direction, but we might have to pivot. if that wasn't the direction before, y'all need to pivot, and Jacob Fatu needs to be your champion by Clash of Italy, or whatever this shit's called. Well, look, again, Kemp, happy birthday. And just because I want not only people to see this video just in case they missed it or hear the audio again and see the new intro, we just gonna go ahead and play that joint again.
Happy birthday, Cam, from the port.
Yes, this is Lash Legend, the one and only.
And Nia Jax.
We are the Irresistible Forces, and we just wanted to wish you a very special, special happy, happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday, and next time you should be here in person, so we don't have to send you a video.
Awesome, well, we're wishing you many, many more, and peace out.
Ding, 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 stepping from the port. We in first black champ, let it begin. Camp from the port, JR bang in the corner, real talk, real heat. Tune in, now we on ya. Ding ding, step in, mic check, let it spin. From the port, we in first black champ, let it begin.
And I never wanted to go to Florida so bad in my life.
So for your birthday, man, close us out.
Yes, man. So look, we appreciate y'all checking out this episode of the First Black Champ Podcast, and we greatly appreciate you all for tuning in. Man, hey, it's Taurus season, Gemini season is approaching. May days are becoming such a great and wonderful thing every single year as we grow and prosper, as this May days thing grows. And man, listen, my heart is full. My heart is full. I'm just happy to be alive, man. I'm 45. I'm out here looking at the mountains, and we're recording one of my favorite things to do, and that's talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world with my guy, JR Bang, man. Doesn't get much greater than this. Thank you, everybody that wished me happy birthday. Thank you, everybody that's participating in the chat. And always remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. It's the pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. I love you, Nia Jax.
Also, happy belated birthday to Ron Simmons as well. Y'all got the same birthday.
You know it, May 15th. And Emmitt Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ray, and Ray Lewis.
No. Shouts out to Chris Benoit, though.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns, and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.